parts.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
The return of horse-drawn carriages at Arlington National Cemetery could be delayed longer.
The Army suspended the use of the horse-drawn caissons in 2022 after two horses died due to poor feed and living conditions. Those horse-drawn carriages are used to carry caskets during military funerals at Arlington. Over the past year, the Army has used a funeral home hearse or another vehicle in place of the caisson. In funerals for officers who were colonels or above, a riderless horse has walked behind the hearse. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Plant-based meat is good for the environment, but is it really good for you? According to new research in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, plant-based meat could be triggering health issues. The study compared the impacts of protein alternatives to the real deal and found the plant-based meat contained high levels of potassium and calcium, possibly causing issues with blood sugar control. It also found actual meat provided more protein. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Nourish your soul every Sunday with WMST. Start with Gaither Homecoming Radio at 7 a.m., followed by Gist Howe and the Main Street Church of Christ at 7:30. After the 8 o'clock news, it's Sunday morning on Main with Becky Black till noon. Then 6 to 9 Sunday evenings, tune in the Reggie Gay Gospel Show. Find encouraging words and music every Sunday on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM, WMST and WMSTradio.com.
Your LAX 18 storm tracker forecast, and what a change in weather. For today, mostly sunny, just a little bit of a breeze, but a whole lot warmer. Middle and upper 60s this afternoon. It's a clear sky tonight. We're in the low 50s. Sunshine early in the day Sunday, but becoming partly sunny. There is a shower chance late. A windy high in the low and mid 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Bill Mack
on WMST.
Good morning, sports fans. Welcome to Sports Extra, sponsored by your Scottsdale McDonald's. We've got two locations in the Gateway area. Pop on into the Pilot Travel Center. You'll be thrilled. And our host, Ivan Ross, is at the Maisel Road location. Ivan, how are you this morning?
Doing fine, Jeff, and good Saturday morning to you as well, and all those listening in. And, of course, we are coming to you live from the Scotts Family McDonald's out here on Maysville Road in Mount Sterling, and it's Masters Saturday. If you're a fan of golf or sports in general, I've got on my green. It's not a green jacket. Of course, I don't play that well, but I'll do that in honor of Masters weekend. Of course, there's three atop the leaderboard coming into this Masters Saturday, Jeff. Anything that amazes you? Of course, obviously, Tiger making the cut setting that record of 24 made cuts at the Masters is one of the stories. But anything impress you so far after the first two rounds at the Masters?
Well, you've got the mad scientist in leaderboard, so you never really know what he's going to do. And world number one, Scottie Scheffler, and Max Homa, who's always been a constant threat in the regular matches, but this is his first major, so we're going to have a good time here watching it this afternoon.
And Scheffler's got an interesting dynamic, doesn't he? His wife is expecting with a child, and it's a matter of any time now where she may be ready to give birth, and he may have to leave the tournament while in the lead. What an interesting dynamic to have all that on your mind while you're trying to win such a prestigious tournament all in one. So he's got a lot going on in his emotions and mental state over this weekend.
The compartmentalizing that goes on in a golf course and a professional venue like that, it's amazing how they can have a mind of what's going on the golf course and still have things going on in their lives. That's amazing.
I'm glad you prefaced that with on the professional venue, because I compartmentalize a lot of stuff when I'm out there on the golf course, and none of it's usually good. Trying to figure out where my shot is and how am I going to get out from behind this tree, or keep the ball out of the water, all those good things. I'm trying to compartmentalize all those things over the course whenever I'm playing. But hey, those guys are a lot better than I am, and a lot wealthier than I am because of their talents. But we do, Jeff, we appreciate everybody listening in this morning on Sports Extra. Of course, our guest today will be with the Montgomery County Boys Tennis. Got Coach Clark Howell out here with a couple of his athletes, and we'll get a chance to talk about them and what's going on this season with the tennis program. But hey, we encourage people to come on out to the Scott's Family McDonald's and take advantage of all the great offerings that they have here, whether it's the McCafe items or some of those standard breakfast items that they have on the menu. Of course, you can come out and try the Krispy Kreme donuts here at the Scott's Family McDonald's as well, out at the Pilot Travel Center location off of exit 113 here in the Gate City area. But we're going to jump right on into this morning's show, Jeff, before we come back to you at the end of the show. But again, Clark Howell, head coach, Montgomery County's boys tennis. And hey, fast and furious when it gets this time of the year, you're always dealing with the weather. And I know that's kind of been the story the last couple of weeks, is trying to get matches in, and then trying to figure out how to work on your players and getting them better as you go through this. Just a crazy dynamic where you're dealing with an outside sport in the springtime.
Yes, it certainly is. We have a lot of challenges that we have to work with in the spring. We don't have any indoor facilities, so we're basically at the mercy of the weather. And obviously this last week wasn't great. We were supposed to have a match on Monday, and the team we were supposed to play ended up basically canceling their boys team this year, so we missed that one. And then the next 4 days we got rained out every day. So we've got upcoming, hopefully, we got, I think, 4 matches scheduled this coming week. We've got 4 matches and then a JV tournament scheduled the following week. So, this time of year, it's if the weather's good, we're out there, after school pretty much all night. So it's a hectic time for everybody.
Talk about coming into this season, things that you were expecting out of this team, and how the season's going up to this point.
Yeah, so this is one of the most excited I'd been coming into a season in quite a while. The COVID year really stopped our momentum, and it took us a couple of years to bounce back from that. And 2022, we started the year barely having enough people to field a team, but we kept adding people as the year went along. And so now we, this year, brought back these two seniors I've got with me, Ty Greer and Drew Thompson, who've been playing since the COVID year before. But otherwise, I've got a lot of young players, one sophomore, 3 freshmen, 4 eighth graders, 2 seventh graders. So, a lot of young players coming in that I was really excited about. Our freshman class, I think, could turn into something really special. Jason Covington comes from a tennis family. All his siblings played. His brother Noah played for me back in, I think, 2017. I think it's when he graduated. His sisters both played. He came in kind of knowing what he was doing, and he's got a ton of talent, ton of potential that we're just trying to tap into. Braxton Gillum is a kid who just works hard, great attitude, always always puts in the effort, who is just, he's one of those people you can depend on. You know going out there, you're going to get a good effort from him. You're going to get, you expect to get good results. And so he's, you love having kids like that who you don't have to worry about. Yeah. You're not worried, well, am I going to have to get his attitude right this match, or am I going to have to get him trying hard this match? So both of those two make a really strong foundation for our future. And then kind of right along with them, Bryson Beasley's a sophomore who missed the year 2 years ago with an injury, came back last year and took a little while to get his footing, but he's another kid with a ton of potential. And so we're trying to tap into that as well. So it's an exciting time knowing I've got, these two guys next to me, Ty and Drew, give us a really strong foundation. And I can count on them for this year, but I can also try to pull this potential out of this great group of young kids that I've got coming up.
When you talk about the health of the program from a numbers perspective, what's a good healthy number, and then what's maybe too much, even at a school this size, when you talk about building the program and having sustainability and being able to have players that matriculate through the program from an early stage all the way up to, when they're seniors?
If you could have probably three players in every class, then you'd be in pretty good shape in terms of, you'd have about 18 players on your roster, and you wouldn't have to worry from year to year about dropping a big senior class, which that's happened to us a couple times where we had, six or eight seniors, and when they were gone, it really, you had to start almost over. So we've got, outside of, we have no juniors and just one sophomore. Other than that, I think we're in a pretty good spot in terms of, we've got 16 players on the roster now. A couple of them are involved in some other activities. And so, especially early in the season, trying to split time with that and get everyone there is a challenge. But we try to work through that. And so I would say if you have 18 players, you can practice with, six players per court without too much trouble. When you get more than that, you can make it work. And obviously, the more the merrier. My goal is to promote tennis in this area. So if we had 40 players, we'd be happy about that. We'd work with that and do the best we could. But I would say, at a bare minimum, probably you want around 12 players, just 7 players playing each match. You need a couple there for backups and just to push each other, knowing that, you've got to perform to stay in the lineup. So I'd say in that 12 to 18 range is probably the sweet spot, but anything more than that, I would always be happy about.
You mentioned one of the challenges, especially when you get into the spring sports. We always talk about multi-sport athletes and being involved holistically in school activities. The spring is really hard. There's a lot going on in the spring, not only multi-sports, whether you want to be a bass angler and play tennis, or maybe you're going to be in the school musical, or some other extracurricular activity. You got a lot going on that, as a coach of a spring sport, that you have to really deal with and try to manage, and try to work with your student athletes for them to manage that, and them having good organizational skills when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's a challenge. We've got I think one person who's in the musical who I've seen once this year, so it's that's kind of didn't really work out just where they were required every day. But I've got three who are in the pit, who I'm told are really good. I don't know enough about music to be able to tell you anything. I've got three there. I've got two who do mock trial, who are in the national tournament, preparing for that. I've got a bass fisher, like you mentioned. Tennis and bass fishing is not a sport that I expected to cross over, but I've had somebody every year, it feels like, that does both of those. So it's kind of neat to have those opportunities, but it is a challenge, and it can be frustrating at times when you're trying to get a match and, well, you're missing three people, or you're trying to work around things. So, we have to work well with each other as coaches, to try to make it as easy as possible for the kids, but it's hard on them. When you've got, usually if somebody gets an off day, you can rest, you can relax, you can maybe catch up or get ahead on some schoolwork. But if you're missing an off day in one of these activities, you got something somewhere else for some of these kids. So, we're fortunate. We typically have really good kids with really good parents who can help them out, smart kids who you know, understand the importance of doing their work and are able to do that and fit that in with the challenges of a tough schedule. So then you've got all the other, you know, senior activities coming up. You've got, you know, awards nights that people scold me about making sure their kids aren't going to be sweaty when they get there. Or you've got prom you have to schedule around. Sometimes our postseason, we have to schedule around graduations. You've got AP tests. So it's constant. You know, that's one of those things that it can be frustrating and a challenge, but it's also, you know, I would rather do that than deal with kids who are struggling to get good grades and just, you know, not doing anything else with their lives. So I'll complain some about it, but not too much, hopefully.
The headaches, the assumed headaches that come with the job of a coach of a spring sport. We're here talking to Clark Howell, the head coach of the Montgomery County High School boys tennis team. And, Coach, if you could just talk a little bit about this season and some of the bright points early on this season, maybe some of your players that are doing really well and maybe in some matches that the team has performed really well.
Yeah, so we've played, I think, five matches so far this year, all before spring break. We played Campbell County, who is typically one of the top two teams in the region. We went up there, and they beat us 4-1. But we, our number one doubles team, Ty and Drew, played really well, got a win, 6-2, 6-2, pretty convincing win over what's probably a top four or five doubles team in the region. So that, you know, was kind of a good start to indicate that we can be very competitive at the top level in doubles in our region. Braxton Gillum played one singles for us that match, and he lost in a super tie break, so it was very competitive there. So despite the results, I think we could see some good things coming out of that one. The other loss we had was to Model. They beat us 3-2. We won both doubles matches and against good doubles teams. So again, you know, for some reason I think I'm a lot better at coaching doubles than singles. So we've typically had pretty good doubles success, and so it was good to see both of those doubles teams come through with good wins against Model. We beat Scott 4-1. Got to get really a good win there. They're a solid team in our region. Typically, they finish kind of in the middle of the pack, but always can put together some good courts. So we had Ty and Drew both played singles in that match. You know, Drew got a come from behind win. He started off a little slow in that one, but won a second set, I think 6-1, and then a super tiebreaker 10-5. Ty played one that match, got a nice 6-1 win. So, you know, that kind of got us off to a good start. We won both of the doubles matches also, played well there. So it's been pretty good. The other matches we played were Nicholas County, who was a little shorthanded, and then Estill County came in from out of the region. And so we got a 9-0 win against them, got to get some more people to play. So it's been, up to this point, I'm very content with the results. Obviously, I would have liked to get in some of the matches we had scheduled this past week, and you know, this far into the season, we've really got basically 3 weeks of the regular season left, 3.5, and only having 5 matches in so far, it's hard to have a great gauge of where we are, and everyone else in the region is kind of in the same boat. So I'm content with where we are, but it's still kind of up in the air to see what's going to happen.
Typically in the region, who's that program or programs that you try to, you know, put yourself with or try to exceed as far as at the top of the region? You feel like year in and year out there maybe are the consistent program that you hope to be right there in the discussion with.
Yeah, so over the past decade, Campbell County's probably been the most consistent, the most solid, and Clark County right with them. Are two programs that no matter who they have back, who they bring in, you just know they're going to be at the very least good. Bourbon County over the last 3 years has probably been the best team in the region. We play them on Tuesday. They've got a sophomore and a junior who coming into the year were probably considered by most the top two players in the region. So, you know, they've had a really hot stretch of some really good players coming through. So those three are kind of the teams you look at. And so, like I said, we played Campbell County competitively couple weeks ago, and then we've got Bourbon County on Tuesday, so that'll give us a good gauge for how we stack up in the region.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the upcoming match with Bourbon County at Bourbon County. That's one of those things that, hey, you get a chance, although you know you haven't had a chance to play like you would have wanted to with the weather and, of course, spring break and all that. Just kind of got done doing it the last couple of weeks. Going into that, what's the approach and what time maybe you can get on the courts before Tuesday?
Yeah, it's a challenge. The boys play Bourbon County at home. And the girls go to Bourbon County.
Okay.
So they only have three courts there. So a lot of times we travel together, but three courts for two matches is just, it's tough. So we got it split last year and this year. We also have a match against Bryan Station on Monday. We'll try to get there. Of course, they're going to get there early. Usually we have about an hour and a half before our opponents get there. We can kind of run not only just a warm-up, but even a practice if we need to, especially for people who might not get to play. But I guess the Lexington schools get out really early. They might beat us to the courts.
With all the construction going on over in that area, there's no telling what.
That's fair. So we'll try to get a good match in there. And I like to try to get our lineup to the place where I think we'll be able to get the most competitive matches in with our opponent. Because sometimes we'll have matches where if we win big on three courts and they win big on two courts, we don't get as much benefit out of that despite, overall it looks like a 3-2 would be a close match, but the individual matches aren't always that. So I try to get matches that, at least for a few people are going to be the most competitive they can. Ty and Drew before we started here, I'm actually planning on playing them in singles in that match. Get a little bit more time in hitting. Playing singles is not the same as doubles, but it still can build the similar skill set and get you back in a rhythm. So that's one of the things we'll do. But it's a challenge. I mean, hopefully we'll be able to get in that match and get in a little time before Bourbon shows up and be as ready as we can.
We often talk about in sports about matchups and trying to, figure out, what that dynamic's going to be, especially in tennis. You're trying to get matches won and trying to have the overall team success, but trying to line your players up so that, they can fare well in their particular matchup based upon what their skill sets are and maybe what that is of their opponents. Talk about that as from a coaching perspective when you're trying to, come up with how you're going to have players go out during a match.
So I probably put a lot more thought into that than just about anybody else does. I actually love that aspect of trying to get the right matchups, but it is difficult. It's even a little more difficult this year. Typically, our region tournament, there's two singles entries and two doubles entries, so six total players. And you want to get, your singles players playing enough singles, your doubles players playing enough doubles, not only so that they'll be ready for that tournament, but also for seeding purposes. If you've got two good players, but they don't play doubles together all year, it's hard to get them seeded if you put them in doubles at the end of the year. So, Ty and Drew have a couple good wins already this year that, assuming that we stick with that lineup, which is my plan as of now, so we've got to try to get them enough of those matches for the seeding purpose and to be prepared. But also there's the team region, which is just where we play head-to-head. They've added that this year. So we'll play another team, three singles and two doubles matches. You can use whatever lineup you want, as long as, your one has to be better than your two, better than your three. But you can put people in singles, doubles, whatever. And so that, our individual singles and doubles lineup probably is not going to be the same as our team lineup every match. So trying to get people ready for that and making sure you've got doubles combinations for people who maybe don't play as much together, but you're comfortable when hey, I need to split these guys up. I need to bring this guy up to put it one doubles or two doubles in that. And also just as a tennis player, these are young players who haven't had a lot of tennis experience. I want to give them as much a chance as possible to play both singles and doubles because at this point you're still learning. You can learn so much from both. You can learn maybe you like one or the other or both.
Yeah.
It's quite a balance, and I really enjoy it, but also probably stress over it maybe a little bit more than most people would.
You're tuned in here to Sports Extra here on WMST. We're coming to you live from the Scott's Family McDonald's here at the Maysville Road location. They have two locations here in the Gate City. Of course, the Pilot Travel Center off of exit 113. We ask that you come in and try out some of the great items, or hey, you can order via your app on your smartphone. Get a lot of the great deals and rewards that they have right there. Come on in here to your Scott's Family McDonald's to take advantage of all the great offerings. We appreciate their support of the student athletes here in the Montgomery County community. And Coach, you've got two of your outstanding athletes here. You've mentioned them a couple times in Ty Greer and Drew Thompson, your doubles team. Talk about these guys and you know, why that marriage between them as a doubles team really works, and maybe how they are able from their skill sets to play off of one another and have success.
Yeah, so they've both been with the program for, you know, 5 or 6 years. I think Drew started in seventh grade and Ty started for a month in eighth grade before we got shut down with COVID. So they've been together quite a bit. Freshman year, I was able to put them together in a few maybe matches at two or three doubles or some exhibition matches. And then their sophomore year, they ended up being our one doubles team in the region tournament. We got the sixth seed that year, so played two three-set matches in the region tournament. They ended up losing to the three seed, I think 10-8, in a tie break in the third set for a chance to go to the state tournament. So, they've got the experience in those close matches and hopefully a little motivation still from that to turn it around and be prepared. They both have good serves, so that helps put you in control of points when you're serving, and if you can hold your serve consistently, you put a lot more pressure on your opponents. And I think they complement each other well. I think, you know, Drew's got a very aggressive net game, good energy up there, and then, you know, Ty can be very consistent from the baseline. I think that's kind of clicked with him this year, some last year, and even more so I've seen this year, that ability to just be steady. I tell them in doubles, you lose points at the baseline, you win points at the net. So if you, from the baseline, can be solid and at the net can win points, you'll do very well. So I think they've got a good complement there. So both their experience together and just overall experience and their serves and their ability to play well together has them set up, I think, to have a really good year.
What would it take for them to get that opportunity to be in a match at state, you feel like, this year? Is there one little thing that maybe they've been inconsistent with that you hope that maybe they can push through and maybe overcome, based upon what you know of the region and who they're going to face to try to get that opportunity?
I would say the main thing is making serves, making returns. If they're both good enough at everything that they do that if they're in points, they'll win plenty of them. They both have very good serves, but occasionally double faults creep in, and that always puts you in a tough spot. So, just making a high percentage of first serves, really, so you don't have to hit as many second serves. And then on returns, you don't have to hit great returns. If you put the ball in play and keep it away from the net, you give yourself a chance. And you're playing people at a similar level. If you give them a chance to make a mistake, a lot of times they will. If you don't give them a chance to make a mistake, if you make it before they have the chance to, then, you know, you've wasted that point. So, if they play consistently and just kind of keep their emotions positive, I feel very confident they can have a really good year this year.
For our novices listening in that may not know, how involved can you be as a coach during a match with tennis?
So that's actually changed quite a bit, even from when I played to when I started coaching to now. It used to be before I played, coach couldn't talk to the player at all.
Yeah.
And in professional tennis, that's the case most of the time. They're starting to change that. Then kind of when I was playing and started coaching, you could coach when they changed over every odd number of games. So basically you played two games and change ins, and you could talk to them for that that changeover period for that minute and a half. Now you can talk to them between points as long as you don't interrupt the flow of the match. So it could be something just, if I want to say something simple, like make sure you get your toss up start sliding to left on your returns. That's fine between points. Can't talk to them during a point.
Yeah.
That's obviously not allowed. No one else is allowed to talk to them. So, basketball game, you hear parents trying to coach their kids all the time.
Surely not.
Not only is that not a good idea, in my opinion, it's also not allowed in tennis. So that helps me as a coach. I don't have to deal with that. We have a good group of coaches as well that help out, and so any of us can kind of give those quick words of wisdom during the flow of the match.
Just trying to imagine going to a basketball game or a football game where the parents and all the crowd can say anything as far as coaching their kids. The discipline that would have to be involved there would be tremendous.
You know, if everyone just cheered for their kids
there
and their
go.
Team, how great an atmosphere would that be?
Man, I think we could all be much better off
for
that if we could do that. Coach, we're going to get a chance to bring in both Ty and Drew here. And Ty Greer, good morning. How are you doing this morning, Ty?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. And Ty, we had you here last year and got a chance to talk to you about your tennis exploits. And, you know, coming into this season, your final season as a senior, how has your perspective maybe changed, and maybe things that are going on in your mind as you can conclude what's been, you know, a pretty outstanding career for you at Montgomery County?
Well, last year my goal was just to make the state tournament. So this year hopefully we can give ourselves a chance to potentially win a doubles title. But, I mean, since this is my senior year, I'm really just focusing on, you know, just making the best out of the opportunities that I get. You know, I really just want to, have fun with this year. And, you know, if it's the results that, if I don't get the results that I want, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, I mean, I just know that I gave it my all, and that I'm just going to try to stay positive throughout the entire year.
Anything in particular you did during the off season in preparation for this season? Anything that you felt like, hey, this is an area where I can really improve and then may make a difference for me when I get to the season?
I really feel like it was my mindset, really. I just found myself making too many mental mistakes, and so I really tried to work on my consistency on really just trying to get the muscle memory down and just trying to keep myself in points.
Talk about the strengths of your game, things that you feel like you do really well and allows you to win a point here and there, or maybe win a set or a match. Is there that strength of your game you're like, man, I feel really comfortable with this when I go into a match?
Usually when my serves are, when I'm usually feeling really good with my serves, I feel like I can pretty much hold against anybody. But some of my weaknesses is I just don't move too well. My footwork's pretty atrocious, so I try to be more mindful of that, trying to get an extra step on the ball. If they're trying to put a drop shot on, or if they're trying to go on the other side of the court, I try to recover back into the middle and try to put my best position in possible. But usually if I can get to the ball, I usually try to put it in. So if I'm feeling pretty good, and I just start putting all the balls in.
How have you been with your first serve? Has that been a problem for you? Is that something you feel like, hey, you've been pretty good at, and it's allowed you to have success?
Well, this year I've tried to get a kick serve for my first serve, and it's more consistent, so I can switch it up from the flat serve, which is like a power serve, and a kick serve, you know, you're just trying to get all that spin, and it really just throws your opponent off. So I've been feeling more confident with that, where I don't have to rely on the power serve for my first serve. I've been getting them more consistent, so it's really increased my confidence.
Was the kick serve something that you worked on coming into this season, or was that something you've been working on and trying to develop over the course of your career?
I really started trying to work on it probably towards the end of last season, so I've kind of just been progressing through it since then.
Talk about this season to this point, where you felt like maybe matches you felt like you played really well and the outcomes were indicative of that, and maybe where you maybe felt like you struggled a little bit and you could see that as well.
So far the matches against Nicholas County, I felt pretty well. It was the beginning of the year match, so you know it was always going to be a little rough. And then we had the Scott High and the Campbell County matches, and I felt really good in the Scott High. I just felt like, you know, I was just getting all my balls in play, getting to every ball. My serves were going in. And the Campbell County match was a little rough, even though Drew was able to do really well throughout that match. I remember there was this one game I lost like 3 straight points when I was at the net. My volleys were not doing so hot that match, but we were able to pull it out and get some pretty good results. And then we actually had a really good model match a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, they're a really tough team. And it was really not about it was about how we adjusted our play style according to them. And I think we did really well about that, and that gave us the upper hand.
Talk about adjusting in a match. When you're going against a team, you maybe prepared a certain way for what you thought you would see, and then you get in there and they've done something a little bit differently, or the ball's just not responding the way you had hoped it to. And trying to be able to change in a way, especially in a doubles match when you got another person involved with your success as opposed to just you worried about what you're doing.
Well, since we're a doubles team, we always try to be more positive and lift each other up. And, you can only adjust so much. I mean, really in mid-match, you can only adjust the small things, or you can adjust your approach during a point. Like during the model match, we started just serving at this one guy's backhand every time. And, you know, it really just tried to put ourselves in the best position to win the match.
It's one of those things, I think, when I'm watching sports and you can see when an opponent has found a weakness and they try to attack that weakness and go at it. What's the talk and discussion during a match between the two of you when you feel like, hey, I've saw something there. They've tipped something off to me that they're doing that we can expose. What's the communication like between you and Drew when those type of things arise?
Well, we always try to talk between every point. I mean, if the point went really smooth and, like, we were able to hit a serve or a volley or something, maybe we won't really talk. But usually if it's a long point, we'll usually talk and, like, either just try to lift each other up. I mean, if it was just a simple mistake, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, it just is what it is. But if any of us really notices, like, anything that's really working and, like, kind of putting stress on them or pressure, we usually tell that to each other right away.
What's the last couple of weeks been like with spring break and then, the inclement weather and not being able to have some matches, not to be able to get out on the court and get some practice in? What's it been like for you? How frustrating has it been, and how have you been able to spend your time and get through it?
Well, I mean, I really haven't been able to play too much tennis, and that kind of stresses me out a little bit. It kind of makes me a little nervous because I just imagine, like, other teams going out there and, you know, they're practicing and, you know, they're getting ready for the season while we're just stuck here sitting in the house looking at the rainfall, really.
And there's not much you can do, is it, unless you can maybe get in a garage or something and maybe hit the ball against the wall or something like that, but it's still not the same as being out on the court and trying to enhance your game. Talk about this coming week. You've got Bryan Station, Bourbon County right on the horizon. What's your thought process going into those couple of matches?
Well, since I just figured out a couple minutes ago that I'm playing singles, I gotta get mentally prepared for that, because singles matches is completely different than doubles. I mean, doubles is really more about how well you are able to complement your partner and, like, the game plan that you can go with. But singles is pretty much, you know, you're just out there by yourself, and, you know, you just gotta focus on you and really just try to play the best you can with the day that you're having. I mean, you'll have different days where you're playing good or you're just, you know, you're not playing your best. And, you know, you really just got to make the most out of your opportunities in singles, because if that person starts feeling hot, then, you know, there's nothing much you can do. You could just try to come back as much as possible. And with singles, it's more of a mental game, because, I mean, you're out there by yourself. You're in your own head, and you really just have to stay positive.
You watch much professional tennis?
I have in the past, but not this year. I've been too busy.
So not really somebody that you kind of follow and look at their game and their approach that maybe you could kind of take a little bit from over the years. Not anybody that you really follow to that degree.
Well, I used to like Nadal, but he's been hurt the past couple of years, and, you know, he's kind of on his way out of retirement. But this year, I kind of like Carlos Alcaraz. I mean, mm-hmm. I saw him when he was like in 2021 or whenever, when he was starting to get big, and I just really liked the way he played and the energy that he brought.
Yeah, and Nadal was the big, strong clay player, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's his game. And, of course, yeah, I bet you wish you could play on a really nice clay surface, too, just to kind of get that different approach with the ball.
Well, I was actually, me and Drew were actually able to play on clay, and it was a little bit different than a hard court. We were able to play at Idlehour up in Lexington for a summer league.
Yeah.
So that was a completely different approach. I had to change my game plan completely. I just sliced the ball the entire time because I could not hit a ball that day.
We're talking to Ty Greer with the Montgomery County High School boys tennis team. And I'll ask you this question, Ty. If you was a professional tennis player, which one of the four major events would you like to play? If you said if you had a chance to be a competitor in one of those venues, which one would you say you would love to be in?
I would probably just say Wimbledon, because I just think it's like it's really prestigious, and I just think the class there, and I just think everything looks really really smooth.
Yeah.
Like the full white with the nice green courts, I just really like it, and I think it's a great atmosphere.
It's crazy. You know, you talk about Wimbledon, and then like this weekend we're talking about Masters with the golf, and it's just too lush places that you're just like, oh my gosh, there's no place else in the world that's like those two venues when it comes to the care and the approach that's put into it. But I thought that would be kind of unique to see your perspective as a tennis player that really loves tennis. You know, if you had your druthers, where would you like to play? And so Wimbledon is that spot.
Oh yeah.
Real quick, talk about the remainder of this senior year. What are you looking forward to?
Well, right now I'm looking forward to my classes being over at the moment, but
yeah.
I mean, they have been a huge stress on me. But I'm also looking forward to just focusing on tennis, because I really enjoyed the tennis program over my like 5 years in it, and I really just want to go out with a big bang and just try to make the best ending that I can.
But what's in store for you beyond your senior year? What do you plan to do?
Well, I plan to attend Eastern Kentucky University to major in vet science.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. What reason for going into that field of study?
It's just always kind of interested me, that kind of science, just helping animals and helping people.
Mm-hmm. Got a pet?
Yes, I have four cats and two dogs.
All right. Wow, man. That's busy. That's a lot of upkeep.
Oh yeah, it's an animal house. We recently got a puppy in December, so we've been trying to train him and make him potty train him. Really,
any unique names? I mean, is one like named Fred or something like that, or is it? What's the most unique name out of the crew you got?
It'd probably be my oldest dog, Fester.
Fester.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
You know, I don't really know. It just came.
Well, hey. Adam's Family, I was a fan of. Uncle Fester was one of my favorite characters, so we'll go with that. That'll be your story. It'll be Uncle Fester from the Adam's Family. Good luck to you, Ty. Thanks for coming out again this morning and talking to us on Sports Extra.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Ty Greer, senior for the boys' tennis team. And now we got Drew Thompson, also another one of the seniors on this program. And Drew, good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a busy year for you with all your different activities, sports-wise and extracurricular. Has the senior year been more of a challenge for you than any other year, you feel like?
I mean, I feel like activity-wise, maybe, but I, you know, looking back on this year and, like, all that I've accomplished, I really wouldn't have traded it for anything. You know, I'm glad that I've done, you know, all the activities that I do, and I've learned so much in all of them.
Anything stand out to you of everything that you've been involved with during your high school career, or maybe this year in particular, that you're like, wow, I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I took that challenge on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's just been so much. I don't know if I could pick one specifically. I mean, the one that comes to mind right now is three-peating in state for mock trial. That's really high up on my list right now.
Talk about this this tennis season. What expectations you had coming in, and how you feeling to this point, even though you've had some disruption in the schedule and so forth. But where are you feeling at right now, both either as a singles approach or from a doubles approach?
Well, coming into this year, the past 2 years in region, I've lost in the quarterfinals, and In tennis, you have to win the quarterfinals to go to state. So, you know, that's kind of been hard, like just being right on the cusp of making it to state. So coming into this year, I've really been focused on making it to state. And being able to play with Ty, I think we really have a good shot at that, especially after our Campbell County match, beating probably what's going to be a top four team in the region, who has been in previous years, beating them pretty well. I mean, that's boosted. I know it's boosted my confidence a lot in our chances.
How much of getting so close and not getting there has been a kind of a burr in your saddle, so to speak? Were you talking about, hey, we're just there, and how maybe that is fueling you to try to be better the next go around to get that opportunity at state?
I think the main thing that's done for me is it's just added kindling to the fire. Like my sophomore year, I mean, I was a sophomore. I didn't really have any like expectations of making it to state, so that was kind of the first time of, you know, me thinking of me and Ty as a doubles team is like, well, we can actually do this. And then last year I wasn't able to play with Ty. I played with a different partner, and we still did fairly well in the region tournament. And it, you know, just being on that, on the cusp again, kind of added more kindling to the fire. And, you know, looking back, you know, there's always things you can learn, like, you know, what could I have done differently in that moment? And, you know, just using those to improve my game now so I can make it to state this year.
What makes it work between the two of you, between you and Ty as a doubles team?
I just think that we're in sync. Like, you know, if I'm up at the net, I know that if I can't reach this ball, I know Ty is going to get it. And or if I know that I can get it, I'm gonna go for it. And vice versa, if he's up at the net and he knows that he can't reach it, that I'll be able to get to it. So I think it's just that, you know, we're just kind of like linked mentally, and that, you know, even if something happens and one of us messes up, that we can pick each other back up and get back in the next point.
You know, Ty talked about his serve and trying to get that kick serve in and using that as opposed to a power serve. As a doubles partner, how does that help you when he's trying to get that spin and that action on the ball a lot of times, and you're up and ready for that volley to come back across? How does that help you, knowing that that's something that he's worked on, something that he's gotten more consistent with as far as what you should be expecting once the ball comes back across?
Well, being on the receiving end of kick serves, I know that they're really tricky to hit. The spin on it it's pretty considerable. So just knowing that's what my opponent is facing kind of gives me a little more confidence, like they're not going to be able to put as good of a return back in play, which could possibly lead to a better play at the net for me.
How would you describe your play? Is it more of an aggressive style of play? You know, you're trying to challenge your opponent at the net, or are you one of those guys that, hey, I'll play back here on the baseline and, you know, I'll move you around and try to take advantage of you in that regard?
Well, I like playing at the net. I think that the part of the game that I try to do is I just try to take advantage of what I can. If I see like a slow ball kind of, you know, going out a little farther, I'm going to move to try to get that and put that back in play. I also really like taking advantage of angles. I think that's really fun. We're trying to put it to where they can't really get to it.
Yeah.
And winning off a volley or an overhead is always really fun.
Are you playing more off of reaction, or are you really, you know, trying to think through, I want to place that ball right here? And, you know, can that be a, you know, kind of a detraction for you sometimes? You know, we talk about players in different sports, just, you know, be natural, let it come to you, as opposed to trying to aim it somewhere sometimes. How do you approach in that situation?
I mean, you always have to react to it. I mean, it's based off where they hit the ball. Like, if they're hitting it to your forehand, you might want to put it out to the left. But if you're hitting a backhand, it might be better to put it off to the right. So there's always that aspect of it. And also, you know, if I'm, you know, poaching over, that leaves that left side of the court open. But it also leaves the alley open. So it's always, you have to balance that, because, you know, sometimes we come play against players who are able to hit down the line, so I'm not able to move over as much, because that leaves that area of our court open where they can win the point off of.
What match this year did you really feel good in so far this season that you felt like, hey, that was probably my best performance so far this year, and see if I can't, you know, reduplicate that over and over again as I go forward?
Well, I mentioned the Campbell County match. That was a really fun match. Ty mentioned not doing so well at the net, but he didn't mention his overheads in that match. I mean, he put, I think, two balls over the fence off overheads. And
oh, wow.
So, I mean, he has a lot of power in those overheads and was able to put them away. That was just a really fun match all around. And the other match is the model match, which we played a couple weeks ago. We played a very competitive first set, but we were able to come out on top, and then we used that momentum to handily win the second set.
How charged up are you two as a unit, especially when things are going really well? Are you very vocal, or
you
just kind of look at each other and kind of like, yeah, you know, you can just see the swag and maybe your body posture and what have you.
Well, there's a lot of yelling, maybe more from me than from Ty. I'll get like a let's go or something like that. But we always, after each point, no matter what happens, we always give each other a racket tap. Ty mentioned talking after each point. I think that's really important as a doubles team, is communication and just building that relationship with your partner.
What's been the biggest challenge for you this season, the thing that maybe is maybe keeping you from being at your optimum, so to speak, and maybe something that you're really trying to work on?
I would have to say probably just my mentality about things. I'm a person who's very hard on myself, and that tends to come out in tennis quite a bit. After messing up, it's been a lot of a mental challenge for me to try to move past each point. My coaches always tell me to be like a goldfish, because goldfish have terrible memories. So you want to forget about the last point if it went poorly and try to move past that.
Goldfish typically know, though, when you're moving towards the top of the fishbowl of the aquarium, it's dinner time, and they know to go there. That's the one thing they don't forget, though, right? And
yes.
I don't know if it's just their stomach's telling them, hey, it's time to go eat, when I see that motion or whatever, kind of a Pavlov effect, I don't know. Do you have a professional tennis player that you follow, that you like, or that you watch?
Like Ty said, he's been really busy, and I've also been really busy, mm-hmm. So it's been kind of hard to follow tennis, professional tennis past couple years. But I've always really liked watching Djokovic play.
Yeah, and what about his game do you like?
I think he's just a solid player all around. He's just really fun to watch, and watching his progression on his mentality has been a big, he's kind of served as a big role model for me, because in his early career he was kind of a hothead, but seeing where he is now and the improvement that he's made has, shown me what I need to do to try to help with that.
Of the Grand Slam events, which one would you wish you could get a chance to get out and play, either in front of the crowd or at the venue, or some of the dynamics around them, because each one of the four are unique in their own regard, mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Well, Wimbledon would be really cool to play for the prestige of it, but I'd have to say the U.S. Open.
I figured you was going to say that. When you just talked about the rah-rah.
Having the crowd behind you and everything.
Yeah. When you said the whole rah-rah, get into it, I figured the U.S. Open, because that's going to be a rowdy bunch, especially as an American, if you're doing well in that tournament and get on the center court. That would have to be one of those things. Would just be crazy.
It would, yes.
From a competitive standpoint. Drew, what's next for you after the senior year? What's next for you?
In the fall, I will be attending the University of Kentucky, where I will major in secondary social studies education.
Oh, wow. And why did you choose that field of study? Any particular reason?
Well, for the longest time, I've always really loved history, and I found out that I really love talking about history. So, I think being able to teach that is going to be really good for me, and also my dad has served as a really big role model for me, so being able to follow in his footsteps is very important.
Any particular event or era in history that fascinates you most?
Right now, it'd have to be the French Revolution.
Okay. And any particular reason?
The guillotine.
The guillotine. All right. you off with their head, right? Hey, yep. Nothing wrong with that. Well, Drew, thanks for coming out this morning and talking to us. Good luck to you in your individual exploits and as your teammate here with everything you do with the program. But we wish you both the best and appreciate you coming out this morning.
Thank you.
All right. This is Drew Thompson, Sr. And Coach, before we get off the air here, two outstanding young gentlemen and two good role models to have associated it with your program.
Yeah, they are. They're two great representatives for our program and for this community, and I've been fortunate to coach them for half a decade, and look forward to both good things from them the rest of this tennis season, and then also just as they carry on with their lives.
You got Bourbon County at home Tuesday. What time can folks come out? Is it 5:30 somewhere around there?
You know, it depends on when they can get there. I probably need to follow up with them and see what time. I think Bryan Station should get there about 4:15, so we'll probably start that one about 4:30 on Monday. Bourbon County will probably be after 5. If I had to guess, I'd say somewhere between 5 and 5:30. We'll start that. And then we go to Rowan County on Thursday and go to Pendleton on Friday, so big week.
Well, all right. Well, let's hope we can get them all in. Hope the weatherman helps us out there from that perspective. But, Coach, again, good luck to you and these guys going forward. And that's about going to do it for us here on Saturday Sports Extra here live from the Scotts Family McDonald's. We appreciate everybody that listens in, as always. Of course, if you've missed any portion of this program, you can go back and listen to it. It'll download in about an hour. And you can go to www.wmstradio.com to listen to this and any of our previous recordings out here on the WMST station. Of course, we've got the baseball team. They're playing up in Ashland today. And then softball. They have a couple of games, I think, scheduled for later on today at Tommy Reffitt Field. So, again, it's Masters weekend. What can Tiger do, if anything? He's 7 strokes behind the leaders. Can Scotty Scheffler complete the tournament without his wife giving birth? All those good things going on. I did want to announce just real quick, Dustin High resigned yesterday as the Lady Indians basketball head coach. So the Lady Indians will be looking for a new coach in basketball next year. So that's going to do it for myself. We thank Jeff West back at the studio. And until 2 weeks from tomorrow, we won't be here due to the Pancake Festival. This is Ivan Rawls saying so long.
FM at AM 1150 WMST Mount Sterling. CBS News Time.